Over the past couple of weeks, we've talked about Paul's determination and his dedication. And today, I'll be looking at how Paul seized opportunities to share the gospel. If you remember last week, I said we need to be praying for opportunities. But it's more than just praying for opportunities. We get opportunities all the time. We need to seize those opportunities. Now, between our text last week and our text today, if you'll remember last week, Paul was in front of the Sanhedrin. And after the Roman commander got Paul out of the situation because he feared for Paul's life, a group of more than 40 Jews made a pact to neither eat or drink until they had killed Paul. They sought the cooperation of the chief priests and elders, and they planned to ambush Paul when he was brought back for further questioning. Paul's nephew got wind of the conspiracy and relayed it to Paul, who then had the young man inform the Roman commander. Taking the threat seriously, the commander arranged for a strong military escort to accompany Paul to Governor Felix in Caesarea. The commander sent a letter explaining the situation and clarifying that Paul, being a Roman citizen, had done nothing deserving of death or imprisonment. After Paul's arrival in Caesarea, Ananias, the high priest, he's the one that had Paul slapped that we talked about last week. But Ananias, along with some other elders and a lawyer named Tertullus, arrived in Caesarea to state their case against Paul before Felix. Tertullus presented their accusations, which included charges of Paul being a troublemaker, stirring up riots among the Jews everywhere, and being a ringleader of the Nazarene sect. Additionally, he was accused of attempting to desecrate the temple. Paul, given the chance to speak, refuted each accusation. He clarified that he had been in Jerusalem to worship and had neither argued in the temple nor stirred up a crowd. Paul admitted to being a follower of the way, but he stated that he believed everything in the law and the prophets, and he expressed hope in the resurrection of both the righteous and the wicked. Felix had a pretty good understanding of the way, and he decided to delay the proceedings until Lysias, the Roman commander, could come down to provide his account. In the meantime, Paul remained under house arrest, but he did have some freedom and was allowed visits by friends to meet his needs. They brought him stuff, they kept him fed, and all of that. So, now we come to our text for today, which is Acts 24, verses 24 through 27. Acts 24, verses 24 through 27. Several days later, Felix came with his wife Drusilla, who was Jewish. He sent for Paul and listened to him as he spoke about faith in Christ Jesus. As Paul talked about righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, Felix was afraid and said, "That's enough for now. You may leave. When I find it convenient, I will send for you." At the same time, he was hoping that Paul would offer him a bribe, so he sent for him frequently and talked with him. When 2 years had passed, Felix was succeeded by Porcius Festus. But because Felix wanted to grant a favor to the Jews, he left Paul in prison. And this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You know, there are times in our lives when we're presented with unexpected opportunities to share our beliefs and our values. For many of us, these opportunities can be scary. Our text shows us the Apostle Paul in the middle of a very unlikely scenario for witnessing to the message of Christ. But his interaction with Felix and Drusilla becomes an exemplary lesson for all of us on how to share the gospel no matter the circumstances. In Paul's been on trial for his life, and yet he's sharing the gospel. Here's Paul, he's standing before the Roman governor and his wife Drusilla, and it wasn't for a friendly coffee chat. He was on trial. Yet instead of merely defending himself, Paul saw this as an opportunity. He saw this as a divine appointment set by God. There is no situation in our life, in our lives, that is void of an opportunity to share the gospel. Regardless of whether we are in a comfortable or a challenging situation, we always have the opportunity to be God's spokesperson. Now, Felix and Drusilla, Felix was known for his cruelty, his corrupt governance. I mean, he was hoping Paul would give him a bribe. Drusilla was Jewish. She was actually a Jewish princess and very well acquainted with Jewish customs and laws. Their combined knowledge of Jewish expectations of a Messiah and the Roman perceptions of power provided a unique situation for Paul to witness to them. Paul understood their backgrounds. He knew what was going on in the Roman Empire. He, of course, knew Jewish thoughts and beliefs, and he was able to tailor his message to fit them, which is something we need to learn to do. We don't want to go downtown and be talking to somebody on the street about how great God is and how much he blesses us with stuff when we're talking to somebody that doesn't have anything. We don't want to, at the core of Paul's message was Jesus. Always, Paul spoke Jesus. Here he talks about faith in Christ, righteousness, and the impending judgment, which will come. Paul's assertion of faith in Christ wasn't about belief in the abstract. It wasn't metaphorical, Christ exists and he's going to come again. No, Paul had a deep-rooted conviction in the truth of the fact that Jesus is the promised Messiah. Now, when we today proclaim Christ as Messiah, we can be met with skepticism, sometimes even hostility. People really don't like hearing that Jesus is the only way to heaven. But like Paul, our testimonies should stem from a place of personal encounter and transformation. Paul spoke from the heart about his own personal life, what had happened in his life, the changes that Jesus had brought to his life. He made it real. Now, Felix, like I said, known for his corrupt practices, the thought of righteousness, anyone speaking of righteousness, would have been disturbing to him. But Paul wasn't there to flatter him. Paul was there to speak truth. As believers, our understanding of righteousness, it's not moral superiority. Righteousness comes not from being la-di-da Christians. Righteousness comes from having a life that is aligned with God's will. And that's only possible through Christ. Paul also talked about the coming judgment, which is not something any of us really want to spend much time thinking about, but it's coming. It will occur. Paul spoke of accountability, a concept that really would have made Felix uncomfortable to think that he was going to have to answer to the times he took bribes or the times he punished someone because they didn't bribe him. Now, Felix wouldn't have liked thinking about having to answer for what he's done in his life. The text tells us that Felix was scared. He was afraid. So he told Paul, said, go away for now. We'll talk more later, but go away for now. Because Felix didn't want to hear about what was coming. So he decided to put it off to later. We often do that, not about accepting Christ, but about witnessing, about sharing the gospel. John, the message of the gospel is urgent, not just to those of us that believe it. It's very urgent to those who haven't heard it. See, the message of the gospel isn't just about eternity. It's about transformation here and now. think about this. Think about it. Imagine an hourglass, okay? Wizard of Oz, the witch has the hourglass, right? Picture that. Sand is trickling from the upper chamber to the lower. When you first look at it, there's all kind of sand in the top chamber. But as each grain of sand goes through the narrow passage to the bottom, the top diminishes, the bottom fills. Procrastination is the act of watching that sand fall, believing there's always more time left until there isn't. In our text today, we see Felix, a Roman governor, basically in a dance with an hourglass. Paul presents him with the truths of righteousness, of self-control, and the coming judgment. And Felix hears him, and Felix believes him because he's scared. The text tells us he's afraid. But rather than acting on that conviction, Felix puts it off for a more convenient time. He delays. He's thinking the top of that hourglass is still full of sand. Now, how often do we ourselves have these moments of clarity, truth, epiphanies. Cool word, epiphanies. But we have these moments of conviction where we feel the Holy Spirit telling us. And we know what He's telling us. And we tell ourselves and the Holy Spirit. I'll deal with that later. I'll have more time. The danger is not just in a missed opportunity. The danger is also in the assumption that we have unlimited grains of sand. Felix missed a potential turning point in his life, but Paul didn't miss the opportunity to share the gospel with Felix. He didn't wait for a more convenient time. Paul was always prepared to share the gospel. In season, out of season, there was no season for Paul when it came to sharing the message of Christ. Paul also recognized that a missed opportunity may not come around again. Here he was on trial for his life, sharing the gospel because he knew that if he didn't, maybe nobody else would. And one huge thing that Paul did that often we don't do, Paul spoke the truth in love. And Paul didn't dilute the gospel. He didn't make Felix think that he could continue as he had been. No, Paul spoke hard truths, but he did so out of genuine concern. May we as believers today, may we never compromise the gospel, but also may we always deliver it with grace and with love. Speaking the truth in love is a fundamental principle. Ephesians 4:15 tells us, Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become, in every respect, the mature body of Him who is the head, that is Christ. Sharing the gospel truthfully and lovingly is a fundamental aspect of witnessing. But how do we do that? How do we do that? When we have such a firm conviction on a thing, how do we do that? First and foremost, we must have a deep understanding of the gospel message. The gospel is the good news of salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. Faith. It includes recognizing sinfulness and the need for repentance, but at its key is faith in Jesus as Lord and Savior. We get that understanding through prayer and dependence on the Holy Spirit. Remember, when we more than a year ago now, went through the gifts of the Holy Spirit, we must be listening for the Holy Spirit. We also must recognize that it is the Holy Spirit who convicts hearts and opens minds to the gospel. I can't convict anyone. Only the Holy Spirit can. Another key to speaking the truth in love is building relationships. Building relationships. Show love and kindness and respect to others, regardless of their beliefs or their actions. Demonstrate Christ's love through your actions and through your love for others. When you do that, then you lay a foundation of trust. Take time to listen. Listening is a key component of effective communication. Take the time to listen actively to the other person's thoughts, concerns, and questions. Have respect for the person. Have respect for them. You don't have to agree with someone to respect them. Respect them as a person and respect them as a child of God. Agreement might not come. Agreement might not come. But have respect for people. Be clear when you're speaking with others about Jesus. Be simple. Don't need a huge vocabulary or great big words. In fact, that's probably damaging to your witness. Speak Jesus in a straightforward and understandable way. Share your personal testimony with others. Your personal testimony of how you came to faith in Christ or how Christ got you through dark times. Share your own experiences. Share your struggles. And then share the impact that Jesus makes on your life. Show others compassion. Be empathetic. Show others that you care about their spiritual journey. Show others that you care about them. Let them ask questions. Don't get angry when those questions get up against you. And if you don't know the answer, tell them you don't know, but you'll find out. Don't pressure them. Don't pressure them. This is one of the biggest decisions they'll ever make in their life. The decision to accept the gospel is deeply personal and should not be coerced. God gives us free will. We must give others that same option. And then follow up with them. Enter into a discipling relationship with them. After sharing the gospel, walk alongside of them as they explore their faith and deepen their relationship with Christ. And guess what? It's going to deepen yours too. Sharing the gospel truthfully and lovingly involves a combination of understanding, prayer, relationship building, empathy, and communication. It's a patient and respectful process that recognizes the role of the Holy Spirit in transforming hearts. Your goal is to present the gospel in a way that reflects the love and grace of Christ, leaving room for individuals to respond in their own time and their own way, just like Paul did with Felix. He didn't force the conversation. Speaking the truth in love is not about forcing your perspective on someone. It's about fostering open, respectful, and empathetic communication. It's a conversation that promotes understanding, growth, and reconciliation. Paul's interaction with Felix and Drusilla serves as a reminder that opportunities to share the gospel can come from the most unexpected places rather than being deterred by unfavorable circumstances or indifferent listeners. Let us seize every chance to proclaim the transformative message of Jesus Christ. If a chained Paul could impact the halls of Roman governance, imagine what we, empowered by the same spirit that empowered Paul, can achieve within our own circles. Bow your heads with me, please. Heavenly Father, Paul reminds us of the importance of truth, righteousness, and of sharing the message of salvation with others. Help us, Lord, to stand firm in our faith just as Paul did, even in the face of uncertainty and opposition. Help us to be unwavering in our commitment to you and your truth. Grant us the strength and resolve to share the message of Jesus with those who need to hear it in the same way that Paul did with Felix, in truth and in love. Father, there is much more, there is more than enough anger in this world. Help us not to add to it, especially when we are sharing Jesus' message of love. Father, we ask for your guidance, your protection. Keep us safe and give us opportunities to share your love and truth with others. Father, we commit ourselves into your hands, trusting that you will continue to lead us in the paths of righteousness for your name's sake. And in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.